Have you ever wanted to play as the protagonist in an alien movie? Yeah. No, neither have I. This week on It's So Bad, we add Alien Isolation to the endless list. Steve.
Hello, Mike.
Welcome, Chris.
Hey there, pal. How's it going?
Killing it. Killing it. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast from. This is It's So Bad. We are adding this week Alien Isolation to our endless list. You can follow us at It's So Bad Pod on the Twitter machine. itsobadpod@gmail.com is the email address. And Steve, since you made the selection, what is the endless list that we are adding Alien Isolation to?
Well, the endless list is an endless list of video games that we are curating here. We are putting them in their proper order due to our very scientific method. It's a list that begins with Super Mario 64 at number one as our current best game. And it ends with number, 102 right now? Jurassic Park Trespasser is our worst game. So it is our list of all the best and worst games and everything in between.
And I should note to people, we mentioned it last week, but we did record this podcast. We had an audio snafu that I will apologize again for. It was on my side. And we're re-recording this episode to provide you with some premium content on Alien Isolation. So we actually have 101 games on this list outside of Alien Isolation, which we previously added to the list, but we are going to take our previous ranking into account, but decide on if we should put it somewhere else this time.
We're getting a little bit of a mulligan.
Yeah.
But maybe not. Maybe we'll keep it where it is.
We've had another week to simmer on our discussion and to recollect our thoughts. And
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah, well, really pulling back the curtain there. But I was also thinking about it too. Is like as Steve mentioned that Jurassic Park Trespasser is now, well, soon to be, spoilers, soon to be game 102. That it just keeps becoming worse and worse and worse in the pantheon of our endless list, which I think is quite comical. Like Super Mario 64 does not get any better, but Jurassic Park Trespasser gets worse and worse after every week.
That is profound. That is profound right there. It's getting worse and worse every time we add a game to the list.
So Steve, do you want to tell me what this game is? What Alien Isolation is?
Sure. So it is a survival horror game, first person, where you inhabit the role of Amanda Ripley, who is the daughter of Ellen Ripley from the movies. And it's a very immersive, like, survival horror game, like I said. So you find yourself in the classic alien scenario. This game is set in between the movies of the original Alien and Aliens. And so, you know, in Aliens, Ripley wakes up like 57 years in the future or something like that. And so this takes place, I think, like 15 years after the original movie. You end up in a space station and there's an alien on the loose. And the alien is essentially unkillable. You have some tools to delay it and confuse it and escape and cause, you know, distractions and such, but you can't really kill it. And so it is this very, very powerful creature that is hunting you for pretty much the whole game. And so you're trying to kind of use your wits to survive and stealth around. There's other things that happen along the way. There's some android, you know, shenanigans, as there always are in alien movies. Basically you're just kind of hiding and running for your life and trying to survive as this alien hunts you across space.
Now, Steve, I won't put you on the spot here if you don't know the answer to this, but you are kind of like the default alien aficionado, I think, of the chat. Like, is this game, is it kind of held in any level of canon in the Alien franchise, kind of similar to how, like, there is like that Ghostbusters game that's kind of held like in kind of like a secondary canon in the Ghostbusters mainline? Is this consistent with canon?
I can't say for sure, but I will say that when I was looking up Like I did watch some videos and did some reading online about the Alien franchise as a whole, and they, I don't know that it was always included in it, but at least in like comments or like people who were referencing other lists, they'd be like, don't forget about Alien Isolation. So I think it's, I don't know if it's officially canon, but it's at least,
not like canon busting or anything like that. Like it can be slid into canon somewhere.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. It's the thing about it is, the thing about this game is that I feel like, I think Prometheus came out around the same time. I want to actually
Google
that.
I think that's right. Probably within a year or so.
It came out 2 years before Alien Isolation, Prometheus. And Prometheus and Covenant, I don't think there's very much mention of the events of Alien Isolation. I don't think there's any movie tie-in to this game at all, but it fits within the canon so far.
Right. I think the most direct canon tie-in is that it's, and Chris, I think you told us this, and I didn't realize this, but in the Aliens like extended edition, there's a deleted scene where they reference Amanda, or like Ripley's daughter, who I don't think is officially referenced in the original cut of it, but like there is some kind of like movie foundation for why she exists and why this game is set around her. So they built off of that.
Yeah.
So this game was released in October of 2014, same year as Shovel Knight. Mario Kart 8, Bayonetta 2, Destiny came out in 2014, Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor, Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U, Far Cry 4, Dark Souls 2. A lot of, like, somewhat middling games that in normal years would be considered, like, middle tier, but, like, I know that Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor, for example, was named Giant Bomb's Game of the Year, and that's and I think that's just because that was kind of like an in-between year. I think it was the same year as the launch of the PS4 and the Xbox One. So that's like whenever there's a launch year, there's never like big games that come out unless there's like one.
Well,
big
to be clear, Shovel Knight is not a middling game on that list, and Shovel Knight's
very good, but
it's kind of whatever. But not what Mario Kart 8 would go into.
What?
No. When I say
Mario Kart 8 is the best Mario Kart game.
The Switch edition is going to be the definitive edition to Mario Kart 8, right?
I guess there's not much they added to it. There's not much difference. It's just the thing about it is one plays on Switch and one plays on Wii U. The only thing they really added was, I think, there's like a couple new tracks and a couple new carts, and they have that assist mode for like little kids that can't go off the road.
Put the bumpers up like they're at the Bowl Drum. But the point I was getting at though, when the game was good that year, it was really, really good.
I don't think that's the case. I think the problem with this year when looking at the list is there's no like big blockbusters, or there's no like big huge games that were AAA games. There was Shovel Knight, which was an indie game, and there's like Alien Isolation is a very good game, but it's not like a all-time classic. If you look at best games of the year,
well, we haven't ranked it
around
yet.
That year.
We haven't ranked it yet, so don't give that away.
Yeah. But yeah, this game was developed by Creative Assembly, published by Sega. Sega in this time period was like starting to come back on the up and up. So they like acquired Atlas around this time, maybe a little bit before or a little bit after. But they started, and they were also starting to make like the Yakuza games were starting to get big, and you know, Persona games were starting to get big and starting to take off. So Sega was like finally getting back into where they were. But yeah, Creative Assembly is the company that makes the Total War games. They've made 15 of them, which is effing crazy. Have you guys played a Total War game before?
I've played a few Total War games. I played Total War Medieval 2, I think it was, or however those words are arranged in the title, which I think came out in like 2000 or something like that. So I played that as a kid all the time. And I've played a couple of the more recent ones too, but 15 is crazy.
I have not.
And totally different than Alien Isolation too. Like that's a totally different genre.
Well, they also made a third person action game called Viking Battle for Asgard, which Alien Isolation runs on that same engine. And that game was also released on the PS3 and 360. That's what this game was originally released on, but you can find it now everywhere. It's on PC, it's on PS4, it's on Switch even, Alien Isolation. It'd be an interesting experience playing this game on a portable device. I think it would probably take away from it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you need like some sort of like level of immersion with like a big screen or headphones or something like that. So maybe if you were wearing headphones and you were playing in handheld mode, you would get it, but it would definitely wouldn't be as scary that way.
It's weird that Sega acquired the rights to the Alien franchise at all. they acquired the rights in 2006, and I bet in 2006 the Alien franchise, the rights to that were not that much money because it was coming off of like, there was like the Alien vs. Predator movies, there's Alien Resurrection, which came out, I believe, in the late 90s, they hadn't started making like Prometheus or trying to revive that franchise. It was kind of a very low period. But yeah, so this game was like in development for a pretty long time before it actually was released. But yeah, the development of it's pretty crazy. The 20th Century Fox gave the development team over 3 terabytes of original production material, which is what they based like all of their drawings on, like the space station and the spacesuit and how the interior looks. And we haven't talked about this yet, but this game, the aesthetics of this game are like unmatched to any other video game when I'm talking about matching what the movie looks like to what the game looks like. It's like crazy how good they did of a job matching like set design and the character artwork and the costume design and how the layout of the space station is, how the layout of the Torrens, the spaceship, which is exactly like the Nostromo. They like did everything to a T in this game.
I think right from the beginning when you turn the game on, like, I mean, we talked about this in the now deleted first version of this conversation, but like, just right from the get-go, it's like you feel like you're turning on like a VHS copy of Alien with like that kind of grainy 20th Century Fox scene, and then just like from there, it's like it just nails like that what Alien thought future aesthetic was going to be in like the late 70s into the early 80s. Like, just like it's great how like they just didn't even try to update that look whatsoever. It feels like you are watching like that original Alien movie and kind of living in it.
Yeah, and I think that's important because Mike, you were saying that like 2006 when Sega got the rights to this is like a low point for the franchise. It's like Alien had kind of been like farmed out for parts at this point, I feel like, when they probably bought the rights. And like one of the really cool things about this game and what Prometheus does too is that they're kind of trying to get back to the basics of the franchise a little bit too. And so you see that like this movie is like very, very stylized after the original Alien movie, not Alien Colonial Marines, not Alien versus Predator, not any of the like, you know, Alien 3 or anything like that. When it had become more of a commercial success, it's like Alien and Aliens, like in its feel and its aesthetic and the sounds that you hear and the sound effects and like the dread that you feel too. I think that's one of the biggest things that you get from it is that like in the original Alien movie, you know, it's like a team of space miners or like whatever their jobs are. Like they're kind of blue collar workers going across the solar system doing some harvesting. And then this alien comes in and like they're not like the badass Marines of Aliens who even get fucked up too. Like they are just, it's Ripley and she's trying to survive and navigate like kind of like all these like gas, you know, leaks and lights and sirens going off and everything. And that aesthetic is like the Alien aesthetic boiled down to its core. It's like sci-fi sound effects and flashing lights and retro future hardware everywhere. And then just this like creepy creature following you everywhere. And it does it so well.
Yeah, and there's like little things too, like when you interface with the computer, you got the clicky-clack keyboard, and you've got like the dot matrix display where, you know, you have the cursor and it looks like you're typing stuff. Like even if when you're like opening the units on the wall to make adjustments where you can turn off like the air filtration and create like smoke in the environment, like that, those displays all look like they're straight out of the original Alien movie. And then they even do like small touches, like when you save, the card you use to save is the same card they use when they go into Mother in the first movie. And Mother, the room in Mother is replicated in this game in the brain of Apollo. That was one of the things that was pushing me forward in this game, is I was like, I want to see what the inside of Apollo looks like, because I know it's going to look like Mother, because I watched that movie right before I was playing this game. And even like the dipping bird that's all over the place, that is in the original Alien. There's so many like little touches of like, these are little things that were sprinkled throughout Alien. We're going to bring them into this and sprinkle them throughout.
Yeah, there's even that interlude where you, I forget the name of the character, but you meet the guy who basically brought the alien to the space station, and he's like telling you the story of how they found it, and you basically then switch to his perspective, and it's that like early scene in the Alien movie where they find like the space jockey, and they go into like, you know, the room full of eggs, and then the egg like attaches itself, the facehugger attaches itself to one of the characters, and you get to play all that out. It's just like, you know, here's all like the greatest hits of the Alien and Alien movies, and you can play them right here. You can experience it. And it's just like, it's in a video game. Like, it feels like you're in a movie. You get that grainy VHS effect. The 20th Century Fox like music plays at the beginning of it. Like, it does such a good job of capturing everything that people love about the Alien movies.
So one big thing about this game that we haven't really touched upon yet, and the reason why it's called Alien Isolation AI,
ew,
is that the aliens AI was one of the big selling points of this game. So unlike other survival horror games where you have like limited ammo and you're just trying to fend off the guys, the alien in this game is stalking you, and it has a specific programming designed to make you fear for your fucking life.
We originally were talking about this game 2 weeks ago, and a unique thing happened where, even though, yes, whatever, you talked about 2 weeks ago, the episode got deleted, whatever, it's like, I have found myself still talking about my experience playing this game with people that I don't normally talk about, like, my experiences playing, like, video games. I don't call people and go, like, oh my god, dude, you should have seen this game in Madden that I did earlier today, blah, 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 blah. I don't do that. But even as, like, earlier today, I had a friend over, and I was saying, oh, yeah, like, we're going to be recording tonight. And I was explaining to him, I'm playing this game, I don't like jump scares, I don't like the tension that leads to jump scares, but I abuse myself for the purposes of this podcast. And, like, the point where, you know, to nutshell it, and I'm sure Steve can pepper it in because he took a lot of glee in watching my fear play out in the stream and the recording of it, is that like I kept finding myself hiding in a locker away from this alien, and then when I finally thought it was safe to get out, I kind of like equated it, it's like a bad nightmare that you're having, where it's like you're hiding, you get out, you see the thing that's hunting you like in a shadow down the hallway, but again, because as we are going to talk about, like, the AI is so sophisticated, like, it doesn't behave like a normal enemy in a video game. Like, it just acts so unnatural that it kind of breaks, like, the video game behavioral tropes that, like, I think we're just all kind of conditioned to expect. And then I have this experience thinking, like, all right, I'm going to get down this long hallway, get away from it. And then I hear, like, a little bang behind me of, like, a little whatever it was, a medicine cart, trash barrel, whatever it was, fall over. And I turn down, and it's, like, the feeling of dread that I felt when I saw the alien all the way down the end of the hallway turn and look at me and run at me full sprint is truly one of the most unique video game experiences I ever had. And I'm not saying that with hyperbole. Like, I'm saying that as, like, that was truly, like, because I knew what I was getting into, like, knowing that I was going against, like, truly the perfect creature, air quotes, like, and how it just so successfully found me, and knowing that I had no escape, was one of the most dreadful experiences in an oddly positive way that I've ever experienced in a video game.
So, yeah, I mean, just the iterated, how enemies have, like, iterated in games is interesting, because, like, you know, so originally bad guys would just appear and it'd have a routine, right? If you think of games like Metal Gear Solid, so that they iterated on it, so they'll have like a routine where they walk around in an area, and they'll go back and forth in that area, and you can watch them and learn that pattern. But then Metal Gear Solid, you know, added vision cones where they have like a field of vision and they can sense where you are. And then they added hearing too. So if you like knock on a wall in Metal Gear Solid, you can the bad guys will come up to you. in this game, they have that, but they like they've expanded on that so much in a couple different ways. So like the vision sense, for example, it's not just one cone. There's like fields of vision. So if you're near, the field of vision is very wide and it can see you off in a corner somewhere if you're near it. But if you're far away, it can also see you. But like the vision, how it views you as a threat or if it views you as a threat, it diminishes the further away you are. And like it can sense things. Like if you have a flashlight turned on, you're fucking dead. If you bring up your flamethrower, which triggers it to click the flame on, it will hear that if you're close enough. One of the things, one of the mechanics in this game, and how you can tell when an alien is in the area, is with the motion detector, which is just like in I think the second Alien movie, because the first Alien movie was like ridiculous looking. But in the second Alien movie, in Aliens, they've got like the hand motion tracker is what she has, and you can see where it is. But if you hold it up and it's too close to you, it's going to hear it and come towards you. So there's like sound that it takes into account. And if you run at all, you're fucked. You have to walk everywhere. If you fire a weapon, you are really fucked. No matter where you are in an area, the alien will immediately run towards you. And then there's like overarching behaviors too. Like they figured it out where it won't get stuck in a loop. There's like a director behind the scenes that is an AI that's telling it where to go and if it should be closer to you or farther away, or if it should go off the screen for a little while, or if it should come back on. It is very, very sophisticated.
I mean, it learns to flank you at some point in time. Like, that's wild.
Right. There's different behaviors programmed in. Like, Mike, you were talking about this on the thread earlier, but it's like it's a series of if-then statements, basically, when you have these two levels of AI where it's like the macro AI. And there was a video that I linked that we were watching this. It was like the history or revisiting Alien Isolation's AI. But there's like that director-level macro AI that's kind of guiding the micro AI of the alien and being like, okay, you know, the character's moving into this room, so you got to follow him in there. And there's different places that the alien can pop out of too. So like, it doesn't necessarily teleport. Like, there are some instances where it does, but like, it might be waiting for you in an event. It might just kind of be lurking around. And there's different levels of awareness of it too. So like, sometimes it's on high alert and it's like it knows you're in the area and it's going to kill you. Sometimes it's just nearby, and if you make too much noise, it'll be like, oh, something's up, I'm going to go investigate. But like Chris was saying, like, it's not on a rail. Chris, you were hiding in that locker and waiting for it to go away. It does not go away. It is always there. And the big thing, like when you got caught, I remember you freaked out. Like, you turned and you saw it at the end of the hallway and you were like, I'm going to run. And I was like, don't run. And you have to get comfortable with it's a stealth game. You have to get comfortable with being out, navigating, knowing where it can see you, knowing that if it's a couple rooms away and you can see it through a couple of windows, like, yeah, it might be able to see you, but like, you kind of have to keep moving and like use distractions to your advantage, use lighting to your advantage, use sound to your advantage. And it's not on a rail. Like, if it starts to sense that you're in an area, sometimes it'll fake you out. You'll go into a locker and it'll come into the room and it'll look around and then it'll walk out. And just as like it thinks that you might think that you're safe, it'll run back into the room and be like,
right. I think we actually experienced that in my horrific gameplay that I streamed to you guys. But yeah, it's I don't know. And again, Steve, not trying to put you on the spot with this, but you kind of referenced like that AI video, like going into this game knowing that like even like when you do confront it head on and it retreats, like, I don't know, maybe you can speak more to it. Like, there's a whole different set of directives that kick in where, like, it retreats into the vents. It doesn't go away. It, like, just kind of takes, like, kind of, like, a strategic retreat into, like, the vents and then tries to, like, trap you from there. That, I don't know, maybe you can expand on that a lot better than I can.
Right.
But, I thought that was really compelling.
There's only certain tools. Yeah, there's only certain tools that you can get because you can't kill it. So, like, you can get a handgun, you can get a shotgun. It's not going to do anything to it. In fact, players in the area that do have guns, sometimes it's to your advantage to make them, like, take a shot at you or something like that, because then the alien will be attracted and kill all them, and it'll clear out an area for you. The only weapons that I think you get that harm it are the flamethrower, which is your best weapon, basically. You get Molotov cocktails, which function the same. Basically, fire hurts it. But you get like pipe bombs. I don't know if that the pipe bombs are that effective against it. And when you do certain things to, you know, ward it off, it'll like, you know, if you burn it, it'll get like more angry. So it'll retreat, but then it'll like come back at you like more aggressively. And maybe you've pushed it up into the air vents and you can leave one room, but then in the next room, it's lying in an air vent. And if you walk under it, it'll just like pop down and grab you and pull you up. Like it'll, it has like different tricks up its sleeves that, not that it has sense, but it'll like employ to kind of root you out. Like it kind of learns from your behavior and the way you're playing, and you have to use the environment to your advantage.
So the video you were talking about is from AI and Games on YouTube. It's revisiting Alien Isolation's AI. One thing to note too, it's, the alien doesn't actually learn. What it does do is as you progress through the game, certain skill sets unlock, so that it will start flanking you. So it's kind of like it tricks you into thinking it's learning, but it's not actually learning. One thing that it does do, though, if you pull up a flamethrower and you shoot it, whenever it sees you next and sees you holding a flamethrower, it'll hiss at you before it runs at you. So like that stuff happens.
If you use the flamethrower or a Molotov too late, too, sometimes it'll be like lunging at you, but you'll like, you know, get the trigger off just in time and you'll hit it, but it'll still knock you over and then like go up into the vents. Like there's different, you know, sometimes you'll hit it and it'll just run away, but sometimes it'll like charge right into you and it's escape.
It'll smack you before it like runs away, which is like the scariest thing. You're like, oh fuck, it's gonna get me, and then it smacks you and you're like you shake your head, which brings up a good point about this game. When I was thinking about it shaking you around, is that what makes this game really work is that not only the AI, but also the fact that you're in a first person perspective. And so like you are running from the alien. You are viewing what the alien, you know, you're trying to view what the alien is from underneath stuff, from inside vents. So that really enhances the experience of the horror and the dread. Because if this was a third person game, I feel like it would be much less scary.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, this is like without being a VR game, and I think you can play this game in VR, but like that is kind of the feeling of it, is that it like puts you in the shoes of the character and you are living their perspective. And like I've seen Matt play Half-Life Alyx before, and it had in VR, and I have to assume that it has like a very similar feel. Like it's kind of a zombie game and you have guns so you can kind of shoot your way around, but like that first person perspective and like having to shine the flashlight down the hall and like, oh, I heard something behind me, I gotta turn my head and see. Like that's the whole experience of the game. Like sound and awareness is so much of what you're dealing with. Because the scariest part of the game, the alien is the scariest part of the game, but the scariest thing that sometimes it does is where you can't see it and you just hear it bumping around in the vents and you're like in a relatively safe situation and you're just like, where do I go? Where is it? Is it gonna come after me? Is it not gonna come after me?
And then they make you do those mini games, and there's mini games to like open doors and to do stuff, and that's like a big part of this thing is increasing the tension by making you do like hacking mini games or like cutting open a door panel with your ion torch or whatever it is.
And it's all designed to make you take time, be out in the open, be exposed, and make noise.
Right. And to clarify,
but it's also too, it's like,
I was gonna say to clarify the events, like it's like that's not just like a gimmicky sound thing to create atmosphere. Like it's truly in the vents. Like I think that's where they kind of talked about how it's like the backstage behavior when it's like hiding in the vents and just kind of running around, but like it's truly above you. It's not like just like you walked into a room and you triggered a sound file to play, right? Like I think that's like the immersiveness and the terrifyingness of this game.
You do get tools to distract it. As we mentioned, the motion tracker and the flamethrower. But you get flares, which you can use to distract it, noisemakers, smoke bombs, flashbangs. EMPs are more for the androids, Molotovs. And they can help a lot, but yeah, it's I didn't use any flares really until the end, because I really didn't understand how you use them until there's a room. You walk into an area with a long tunnel and two rooms on either side, and there were two aliens towards the end, and it was like really hard and I didn't have anything, and I used flares and it was much easier, and I used flares.
We're getting into the spoiler part of this too, but I wanted to note, because you mentioned the androids, like the other enemy, there are two other types of enemies in this game. There's people who are like the people on the space station who sometimes they're violent and have guns, and then there's the androids who are like the working Joe androids that are like not as good as the androids from the movies. You can tell that they're androids. They have like loose skin and everything.
They're like the bargain bin androids.
Right, exactly. And those you have to disable with, like, you have like a stun baton and you have your wrench. You can beat people with a wrench, and so you can take them out that way. EMP grenades. But yeah, like all these different tools allow you to navigate the area, and some of them are more effective. Like guns basically only work on people, and like the shotgun will work on the androids.
If you shoot the android in the head with the gun, it's like two shots. It's not that
really
much.
with the hand.
Yeah, because I shot one. I don't know. Gave me some glib response that was like, really, that's uncalled for. And then just kept like walking towards me.
It's like two or it's like it's not
Mike,
that many.
Mike, I remember you said you were playing this game on easy mode. I wonder if that's an easy mode feature.
I didn't turn it down to easy until three quarters of the way through this game.
Okay, all right, fair enough. I've definitely shot it in the head a couple times with the gun. And
bolt gun though is like one shot.
Oh yeah, bolt gun takes.
Speaking
out
of features though, I just want to ask like really quick, because I really don't know if this is exclusive just to the PS4 and perhaps the Xbox version, but because I think you guys played it on PC, right? So on the PS4 version, there was feature it asked you right at the beginning to turn on or off. That said, like, do you want to use like your controller's microphone to like hear sound like in your room, home, whatever it is you're playing, and like any sound that it detects in the room that you're playing will translate to the game. So, for example, like, you know, where I was playing this game in my basement with all the lights turned off, trying to make it as terrifying as possible, my cats like to run around down there, and if they banged into something while I was hiding in the locker, the alien would hear it and kill me, and I'd probably be very upset with my cats. But like, I wasn't sure if like that is like a PS4 Xbox exclusive feature, if that was also in PC.
I think it's only PS4 because Xbox doesn't have a microphone on the controller.
So it must just be a PS4 thing then.
Yeah, I originally played this game, because I played it twice. I originally played it on Xbox One, and then I played it on PC this time. And yeah, there was no setting for that. But I cannot imagine. Basically, that's like a kind of a gimmick to be like, if you're going to scream a lot in this game, the alien will find you.
I was explaining it to like one of my friends earlier today, who was like asking me like if he should play this game. Like he just had a kid a few months ago. And he's like, oh, should I like play this game like in my downtime? I said, no, because like because he played on PS4, and he was like, no, I was like, no, because if your kid starts crying, like the alien's gonna hear it and it's gonna kill you, and you know that's gonna be the end of your enjoyment.
And if you start crying, then you're gonna be crying in front of your kid, and then your kid's
gonna
start crying, and then it's just gonna be a whole thing.
So don't do that. So, but that's interesting. I didn't realize that was like a PS4 exclusive. Feature.
Yeah. So just in terms of the story and kind of like some of the set pieces, for me, some of the best parts I think were, and this is spoilers for people, if they don't want to hear it, you can X out or fast forward like 5 minutes. Yes, we don't want you closing it out. But yeah, so for me, when you trap the original alien on the like this external part of the space station and blast it out into space, that's really cool scene. That was really well done. I also really liked the, we mentioned when you go to the planet, what is it, LV-426, and you see the derelict ship and you get to walk around that whole environment. That was super cool. And then the nest, when you get to the nest in the power plant, that part was super cool. Are there any moments that stand out for you, Steve?
Yeah, the nest is where the movie switches from alien to aliens, because you think you've killed the original alien, and you've killed it, and then there's this kind of interlude where you're dealing with like the androids rising up, and then you go investigate Apollo, which is the AI on the ship, and you go down and you realize that there's a nest in the core of the space station, basically, and there's multiple aliens. That I loved that. I think I agree, like the original trap, it's called the trap, is when you trap the alien for the first time. That part's really tense, really very, very cool. What other parts? The part on the planet is cool. I kind of, it's a weird pacing thing with this game. I kind of like the android part, even though I think that it pads the game a little bit, because I like that it switches up the game and it kind of provides this moment of relief, because you spend the first like third of the game like being hunted by the alien, and then it finally switches it up a little bit, and it kind of gives you license to walk around and explore a little bit with like a lighter heart instead of being like, I could be killed at any time. Like, the androids won't automatically kill you, the people won't automatically kill you. So I liked that it kind of switched up the gameplay a little bit.
Will say too that when the facehuggers come out, and this is for Chris because they didn't get that far, when they start introducing facehuggers, you'll be in a big open room and you'll see in the distance like a box move, and you're like, what the fuck was that? And then it like scurries towards you, and that shit's scary as hell.
yeah, the facehuggers are cool once you get into like the aliens portion of it.
I could not get that far. This is like what, like a 10-hour game ish, give or take.
It's like 15-hour game. It's long.
It's like 15 to 20.
I'm not doing that to myself for 15-20
hours.
There's
one scene when you get through the nest part of it, and this part always stands out to me, where you know that there are multiple aliens still on the space station, and you like kind of come back up and some other stuff happens, and you go into this room, I think it's the comms room, which you've been to like two or three other times, and all of a sudden one of the aliens like bursts through the ceiling and like all the oxygen gets sucked out of the room before like the blast doors go down, and there's some people in the room, and it just kind of like is crouched over and like slowly stands up as like all the oxygen's getting sucked out, and I'm like, that is a great classic alien scene right there. Like, that is terrifying shit, and I thought we killed these aliens, but god damn it, they're back. It's just like such a good moment. I loved that.
There's also the power plant that you have to like overload at one point, and it's like very evocative of Aliens 2 and like the lightning hitting, and it's very cool as well. I like that set design as well. So I think we've talked about this game enough. What do you guys think?
Yeah, let's get into our rankings.
So
first time rankings.
I haven't said this before on this episode, but I fucking hated this game. I hated this game not because I thought it was a bad game, because the game was not for me, and I'm willing to admit that a game can be good and just not be for me. I think that it does everything that it wants to do very well. It is an alien game. It has an alien that is designed superbly. And it is just, it does exactly what it wants to do really well. The thing for me is, it's like way too much tension on you, and I can't deal with tension very well. Somebody with anxiety. So it's like very, it's like incredibly tense. Like, if you've played a Resident Evil game, for example, this game is like 10 times what that game is for in terms of intensity. Because you have intensity. You have to, in Resident Evil games, you have a way of fighting back. Generally, and you can run out of ammunition to fight back, but this game, you do not have that. This is a stealth game, and you need to stealth around this thing, but it's also, you have some tools to fend it off and some things to do, and largely they can be very ineffective depending upon what you're doing with them. Like, if you throw a noisemaker and it's like it approaches the noisemaker in a particular way and it's still looking at you, you can't move, you can't leave, you have to wait for it to turn around, and you have to go very slowly. It's very deliberate in what you have to be very deliberate in what you're doing, and it's just super fucking tense.
Yeah,
so.
You nailed it. Like, and this was kind of the part I was getting at with Chris, where it's like eventually you have to leave the locker room and walk around and stealth around. Like, you can't win the game by staying in the locker. You do have to go out there, and there's this really cool passage or like paragraph from the end of the Kirk Hamilton was a writer at Kotaku who reviewed this game when it came out, and he tied it into the last scene in Alien where Ripley is like on the spaceship, she's escaped, she's on the escape pod, she's blown up the ship that she was on, the Nostromo, and she thinks she's free of the alien, and then she realizes it's like hiding in the escape pod with her. And she like backs away from it really slowly, and she's like putting on her space suit, and she's getting ready to like shoot it out into space, and she's like doing it super slowly, and she's like kind of singing to herself the whole time there. So he describes this in the paragraph, and he's like, that is this game. Like, that is the power of this game, where like you can't take your eyes off the alien, because when you have to be cool, you have to be patient, because the second you panic, that's when the alien's going to get you, and you have to keep your eyes on it there. You can't run, can't make lots of noise, you can't scream, you got to get away from it. It is, like, legitimately one of the scariest, if not the scariest, video game that has probably ever been made. And yeah. That patience, like, dictates the gameplay. You have to be cool with being out in a hallway with an alien breathing down your neck and, like, trying to keep your head down, basically. And that's the tension.
The only games that I think can think of that would be, like, scarier than this game, there are, from what I've seen, I haven't actually played this game, but Amnesia games are supposedly very scary, Outlast, Soma. Those games are very similar to this game, where you can't fight the bad guy, and it's always constantly chasing you. And Resident Evil 7 also was another one where it was supposedly very, very scary.
Also Resident Evil 2 and the remake, too, with Mr. X. Like, that's kind of the unkillable character that's coming after you. But it's not quite the same level of terror. It's right. You got to run, and there's definitely dread of when you hear him bumping around. But that's like a piece of the game, not the whole game.
And you can also fight him off in that game, right? You can, like, push him back if you have certain tools.
I think so. I think that's right.
So I kind of said that I was, because I didn't complete this game, I said I was going to kind of hang back on the rankings. And I think I'll kind of nutshell my thoughts, like, in two ways. I think, like, as a broader opinion on this game, this is a game that, like, 20 hours of this, I don't need 20 hours of this. So I think if I knew going into this that, like, if you told me this game was 6-7 hours long, and, you know, full disclosure, I bought this game used on eBay or Mercari, whatever it was, for like $7, and, like, which, you know, whatever. If you had told me that, like, this was a, you know, sub 10-hour, 8-hour experience where you just kind of do this, like, this, like, kind of terrifying experience, I would say this is, like, such an amazing experience. 20 hours, I don't know if this needs to be 20 hours. But that said, even again, as we have acknowledged that, like, we did originally talk about this game 2 weeks ago, and here we are re-recording a new episode now, like, I have still continued to talk about this game to people who do not give a shit about video games. And I have never had a, from that initial recording to now, I have never had such a good time talking about a game that terrified the shit out of me for the period of time that I played it, to the point where I was like, if you have, like, you know, if you're a casual video game player, like, you will not find this experience in something else. Even if you don't play the whole game, you play a chunk of it like I did. Like, it's a unique experience that, I don't know, I've never felt really replicated in any games that I've played. Granted, I've not played some of the games that Mike mentioned, and I think that is a testament to what they set out to do with this game and what they actually accomplished. So I've never felt so good talking about a game that literally was like the embodiment of so many of the worst nightmares I've had in my life, which is like a weird way to put it.
this game should have ended at the trap to me. I understand there was some great, like, homages to the movies in some of the other areas, but it should have just been over at the trap. That was where it should have been an 8-hour game. And I think a lot of the Android stuff is like, there's a lot of, like, go here to get the key card, go here to get this key card, open this door, try to do it really tensely because there's an alien or androids tracking you down. And it's just, while there are really cool set pieces sprinkled in, like I mentioned, that power plant, the nest, and some of the air, I'm trying to think of other ones. Those were like the big, really cool ones. I think, like, the ship that you go toward, the Marlow ship with the guy from who found the alien, when you go in that, that's pretty okay because it's different. You're on a ship, but it gets kind of samey about 8 to 9 hours in once you get rid of the first alien, and then. Well, it doesn't really pick back up. I feel like the Android section is just really, it's not that great for me. It kind of takes away from the whole game experience for me. But that's
You guys have nailed, like, the highs and lows of this game. Basically, it's too long. That's the big gripe about this game. There is some padding to it. It gets a little samey when you get into the second half. It has the multiple endings-itis problem where it keeps faking you out, and you think it's going to end, and then it's like, oh no. gotta do one more thing. Oh, no, no, gotta do one actual, like, extra thing after that. And that's where, like, the android piece comes in there, too. And I think that, like, it's tough because so much of a horror, of the horror genre is pacing. And so you want to give people enough. And this is a problem with video games where it's like they want to give you enough for their money, but are they giving you too much for your $60? And I think in this case, probably yes. Like, I could live with this game being like 12 hours or 10 hours, like you guys were saying. And there's some padding and there's backtracking too. Something I forgot to mention in the last time we recorded this is that a lot of people have compared the space station, which is Sevastopol, to Rapture from BioShock, and that, like, it's such a place in like your memory of video game history. Like, you feel like this is a place that had a history and had a story before it, and like
Sevastopol.
Yeah, that is like one of the like great strengths of this. So environment and like the ability to capture everything we kind of gushed over before, like the aesthetics of the movies, the AI, the dread you feel, like those are the high points. But it's definitely held back by like the length, some of the repetition, some of the, like, you know, you have to do mini games for the 10,000th time to open a door, stuff like that. And like Mike was saying too, like, if this is not, this is a niche game. Like, some people don't like this game, some people love this game. I'm one of the people who loves this game. But like, if spending 20 hours sneaking around hallways from a monster that you can't kill is not your thing, it's going to be a tough, sell.
I'll say, though, I think maybe, I don't want to say I'm the bridge point between you guys, because I don't like jump scares, I don't like tension, but at the same time, too, like, you know, you play video games for, especially like more modern games, so you play for like an experience or an escapism and stuff like that. Again, reiterating, stressing, I hate jump scares, that sort of tension, but you know, Steve, I'm really glad you pressured me to play this game, because even though it was terrifying to me, like, to get the experience that I got is, you know, when it comes to playing video games, like, you know, I won't forget that. I think there's a lot of value in that. Going like, hey, you know what? I didn't complete the whole game. You play games for an experience, right? You don't play games necessarily to beat them, play games for the experience. And what this game, you know, made me feel for the several hours that I played it, while it was crippling and terrifying at times, it was like a rewarding crippling and terrifying, and I was glad I had it. And it elicits something that I can't say a lot of games elicit. And you know, if this sounds like that's fun to you, maybe, I don't know if I'm doing the great salesman job on this, then by all means, try it. If crippling fear and tension is entertaining to you, go for it.
So the last time we ranked this game, we ranked it at number 27. Do we want to move it from number 27? Because I don't really want to move it up.
Yeah, I we talked about this in the lead up to this re-record. Like, you know, whether we should re-rank it or just kind of work up to leaving it at number 27 again. And I agree, like, let's not move it any higher. I don't really want to move it any lower either, but so we can move it higher, we can move it lower if we, like, make compelling reasons to do so. That's kind of how I feel about this. But, you know, I think we were kind of split along the party lines that we were just talking about. We're like, Mike, you didn't enjoy playing this game. This was kind of like, you know, a stress-inducing nightmare for you. Chris, you kind of had the same experience. You couldn't even get through the whole game. Meanwhile, I played this game twice. I thought about playing it again. Maybe one day.
But I found the stress-inducing nightmare to be a positive for it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I kind of tried to run through the list of, like, pros and cons before in my thoughts on this. And I feel like, Chris, what you're getting at is, like, why I think this game ranks highly on the list is that it is such a unique experience. Right. And while, yes, there are some of the traps and pitfalls of sameness and padding and all of that, like, the AI is some of the best AI you'll ever play against in video games, in a scenario that you are rarely in a video game, like, except in survival horror. And even then, it's kind of unique to survival horror, like that sense of powerlessness, that sense of having to rely on the environment to get through, the slowness. I feel like sometimes I really like slow, deliberate games where other people get frustrated with them. So that, to me, is a selling point. And then just, like, as a huge Alien fan, this captures the alien aesthetic like perfectly. So if you like watching alien movies, even if you're scared of living that protagonist's lifestyle, which you should, because I'm sure they're not thrilled about it in the movies, like this does a remarkable job of doing that. And for that reason, it is a unique piece of video game history that I think should be respected as a result of that. Regardless of whether that's your cup of tea.
I'll say for the people listening at home. So like I said, or like we said, we previously ranked it at, or had pre-ranked it, I guess we'll say, at number 27. For reference, number 26 is Final Fantasy VI. Number 28 is Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. Number 29 is Contra. Number 30 is Hotline Miami. You know, I guess, again, trying to, because I didn't play the whole game, not trying to get too much in. Factor too much into the rankings. I think I'll just kind of reiterate a lot of what Steve said. Like, all those games are great, fun games, but, you know, for better or for worse, there is one Alien Isolation, and I think that deserves a lot of recognition for what this game set out to do and what it accomplished. You know, probably should have been shorter. Maybe actually, if it was just the challenges. Like, if it was just the challenges, maybe we'd even be ranking it higher. I don't know, but it's a little weird to penalize the game.
No, I think the story.
Yeah,
the story is good as well. Yeah. So I enjoyed the story.
Yeah,
I kept playing it for the story.
That's fair.
But I think we should keep it at 27. I just think it's a good fit for where it is.
I do. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think this is the 27th best game of all time. There are games that will slot in above this, and there are games that will slot in below this, too. But I think the current makeup of the list, this is a pretty good spot for it. So, yeah, I agree.
Cool. Well, then we have a new number 27. Well, old new.
What's old is new again.
Yes. And you can follow us again at It's So Bad Pod on Twitter, itsobadpod@gmail.com for all of your questions, comments, concerns. If you're concerned about our anxiety levels or where we're at with our lives, send us an email at itsobadpod@gmail.com. But I want to thank you, Steve and Chris, for joining me for a second time. Again, I apologize.
No apologies.
Nope, no problem. I'm happy
I'm
to talk about this.
Twice. We didn't mention that this is our second of what will be three episodes of November Ween. We did not put the November Ween tag on this in the intro.
This is November Ween. Yes, we are in November Ween.
If it wasn't clear, this is a story belongs in November Ween.
Well, thanks, guys. We'll see you next week, hopefully.
Thanks, Mike.